Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Jay Keaton. Thank you for joining me here at Liberty and Faith Podcast Ministry. I want to talk to you today about some stuff that, you know, I think is obvious to everybody in the world today, especially if you're saved and you're a Christian. You can see how things are just so deplorable right now. In 2024, in which we're in right now, isn't going to offer much hope for those outside of covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that things are going to get worse and worse. And I want to read to you, and that is not to sound depressing, but it's just the reality of the spiritual situation. Now, one can look at the world and perhaps maybe you have a great job and things are going well for you. But I'm not speaking carnally when I say this. I'm speaking spiritually. The condition of people's souls, the condition of the spirit in which people are living by, is going to get worse and worse and worse. So you might have a good job and making good money and have a new car and a new home and everything's hunky-dory for you, and you don't mind paying $4 a gallon for gas, it seems at times, and all the high prices and the things that's going on, but you're looking with a carnal view. But I'm looking at the spiritual side of things. What condition is our country in spiritually? What condition is the world in spiritually? Well, God tells us in His Word that mankind, spiritually speaking, will go down and down and down and down. And I want to read to you out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I've preached a lot out of this chapter. I've preached a lot out of the books of Timothy because they are phenomenal books. As I have said a lot of times, and I'll say this again so that you all remember this that listen to these podcasts, Timothy was a very young preacher, and he was being called upon to carry the weight of the church, basically. He was Paul's kind of understudy, if you will, and Paul was handing off the duties to Timothy in the letters that he's writing to him. Now, we have these letters, and when we open up the books of Timothy, we're actually reading Timothy's letters that we have been able to intercept and use as doctrine in the church. So understand that these letters that we get in the Bible were written to individuals or written to churches, and we're able to see what was wrote to those folks so that we can have a better understanding of how we should live and glean from this doctrine and be able to look into the future from firsthand accounts of those who knew Jesus Christ and were His disciples, His apostles. So I'm going to read this chapter 3 to you, and listen to this, okay, because this is going to describe personalities, personality traits. This is going to describe some of the attributes of last days living going on, and I say that meaning this, that the spirit that's within you controls you. It compels you to do what you do. It causes you to live how you will live. If the spirit is bad in you, you will do bad things. If your heart is right with God, you're not going to be perfect by any means, but you're going to be good. You're going to show forth the goodness that's in your heart. And so it is. And that's why the Bible says a tree shall be known by its fruit. You bear fruit spiritually by what condition spiritually your heart is in. Don't ever forget that. That is so important. So when we're looking at the world and when we're looking at the scripture, we have got to understand this is not a carnal look at the world. This is a look spiritually at the world, the characteristics of the spiritual nature of people in the world. And if everybody in the world is evil, even though they say they're good, evil stuff's going to be happening in the world. This know, verse 1, chapter 3, 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous, spiritually speaking. You could also look at this as carnally speaking, because it's going to, you know, there are already people being crucified still yet in this world today, in China, in the Middle East. People are being put to death. we take for granted the securities and safety that we have in the United States of America. But folks, just go out there and look for yourself. People are being martyred every day for the cause of Jesus Christ. We have it really good here. The last days, perilous times shall come. Listen to all these attributes of last days people. This is how we can look at this. And every one of these descriptors is going to accurately point the finger at exactly how we are today. And we're gonna pick a little bit of these out and we're gonna go through some of these. But this is what it says. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Man, that's called narcissism. Narcissistic people. Narcissistic traits. Facebook. Instagram. People promoting their own brand. People putting their self up on a pedestal saying, look how great I am. Come and take part in what I am. I mean, it's narcissistic to the core, you see. We are very much so there. And listen, that very first one mentioned there, this is satanic to the core because that's Satan. This describes the traits of Satan himself. He loved himself. He was so narcissistic and full of pride. So we're going to get into this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, boy, I'm telling you, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, check that box, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, check that box, truce breakers, false accusers, boy, check that box, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, check that box. Boy, I'm telling you, this is cancel culture described to a T, is it not? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. My goodness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away, or don't have anything to do with people like that. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead women laden with sins, led away after diverse lusts. Listen to this one. Ever learning. Check. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Check. We're going to talk about these. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But you have known my doctrine, and he's talking to Timothy now. You know my doctrine. Boy, that's so important to understand what doctrine is and chase after godly biblical doctrine. There are so many doctrines out there that people are preaching, so many different denominations. Everybody wonders who's right. You got to do what the Bible says. Not what a man says, but what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches. I don't care about denominations. Denominations and their doctrines come from man. And man's spin on the Bible. You have to believe the scripture and forsake all that. He says, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What? Why would these Christian people, why would the world out there be persecuting such a man as Paul? Why would he be going through such persecutions and afflictions? He's a godly man. Check that box. Been there, done that. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, listen to this, shall suffer persecution. But evil men, listen to this, folks, listen to this. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That tells me it ain't getting no better. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. Know the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. It's not about what men think. It's about what God has already said. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why you can believe it. That's why you're to know it. That's why you're to use it for wisdom unto salvation, because it's been given by God, not by man. Listen to this. All scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. When you have to correct somebody, when you have to rebuke somebody, when you have to tell somebody they're wrong, you use the doctrine and you use the word of God, right? You use God's word. It's good for correction, Paul says, for instruction in righteousness. It's what we're to use to teach people, which we're going to be getting into in evangelism and discipleship. It's good for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, listen, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it's what we're to be furnished with to help us to be perfect in God's eyes, because it's the only perfect thing is the word of God. We're not to do what we think. We're to do what the Bible says. We're to completely give in, and we're to completely surrender to the will of God and the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I begin to teach this, Lord, we're so thankful for the word of God. We love you and we praise you, Lord. And we just ask you to bless each person that hears this little sermon, Lord, today, and ask you to guide them and to lead them and to be with them and to strengthen them and to pick them up. And, oh, Lord, we're just so thankful for who you are, God. You are so awesome, and we love you so very much. And it's easy to get our eyes, Lord God, onto worldly things, but help us see as you see. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. As I have said, the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy are some of my favorite things to read. Paul knew his life on earth was coming to an end. He was being kept beneath the ground. Some believe a dungeon, but it was, according to biblical history, it was like a water cistern that they were keeping him in. But it was right outside of where they killed people, where they martyred people, where they would chop people's heads off. It was a form of Roman torture. Romans were excellent at torture. They were awesome at it. I got to give them their props, man. I mean, they knew how to exact as much pain out of you before death occurred. They were experts at it. It was totally demonic. And they were keeping Paul in a place where he could hear people upstairs, up above him, get their heads chopped off and listen to the crowd roar. And he knew that at any moment, part of the torture was they would lower a ladder down to you. And you never knew when that was going to happen. So they kept you always on edge. You didn't know when your last second would be on this earth. And so Paul was in this predicament, writing this beautiful letter. I mean, who could write such a wonderful, exquisite, to the point, thought out letter like this, unless the Holy Spirit was given it to you and had control of you, total control of you? Most people would be shivering and shuddering and scared to death and couldn't think straight and out of their mind with worry with what was about to happen to them. But God had settled him, just as he will settle you with whatever you got going on in your life. Trust God. He will make a place for you. I mean, the Bible tells us that he will lead us beside the still waters, and he will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That sounds very peaceful, doesn't it? He can give you peace if you surrender everything. Surrender everything to him, you see. I mean, imagine what your mindset would be like if you was in Paul's shoes. Imagine what your mindset would be if you were young Timothy. And, you know, according to historians, he was kind of a timid kind of a fellow. He didn't like confrontation. And yet he's going to have to be the one to stand up for the church, because Paul is, the books of Timothy indicate to us that he's really trying to prepare him for what lies ahead. So we get a good prophetic look in what things Paul was telling us here in the scriptures we read in chapter 3. So Timothy was fully aware of what was about to befall him, and we know that he was martyred, and he did stand up for Christ, but he did get martyred. He was one of the ones who was killed because of his faith. And Paul was just investing in him everything that he could invest. He knew that he wasn't going to make it out of there alive, Paul did. And so he's giving to Timothy everything. Then those last words are so important, aren't they? I mean, when a person knows that they're about to give their life, they're going to give the most essential information. They're going to talk about the things that really, really mean a lot in those last seconds. It's not going to be small talk. You're going to get to the point, because Paul knew that at any minute his life could be over, and it was not long from now. But he knew that he had to get this information out to Timothy, and he really wanted him to listen and understand. He was trudging through all the early learning stuff and going straight to the meat, so as to prepare his young protege. He goes through many attitudes and characteristics in the letter. All of this points out an evil heart that is infested with selfishness, greed, and satanic impulses. One of the ones that stands out to me is ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are so smart these days. We can do so many things. And we have such great understanding. We have such great minds and thinkers out there. But they're not able to have faith. Faith isn't learning. Faith isn't academia. Faith isn't being able to understand the things of this world. Faith is believing. But how is it that these people can be so smart, but they can't see the most simplest thing in the world, and that is God? And that is God, that creation declares his existence. How can you be in the middle of what God created, in the center of God's creative mind, in the presence of God in this world everywhere, and still not be able to see him nor believe in him? I mean, interestingly enough, we see this every day in the world that we live in. As we advance in knowledge, we are consistently becoming more and more godless and immoral. We're getting smarter and smarter, but we're becoming so godless and immoral. Look at what's going on in the world today. I mean, it's obvious that intelligence does not mean we become more moral. It's exactly opposite. The more that man thinks he can depend on himself, the more he leaves the presence of God behind, which equates into all the attributes mentioned here by this great apostle. I mean, you can have more degrees than a thermometer and live like a spiritual pig, a hog wallowing in the mud. I mean, this is how it is. Look at what's going on in our world today. Look at the moral pit, the true evil that's going on today in this world with the homosexual thing and the lesbian thing and these dancers out in these transgender dancers in kindergarten rooms and dancing for children, and people are okay with this. There are people that's defending this. It's unbelievable. We're going to get into that one here in a minute, and the lack of natural affection. Remember, natural affection. You see, there is sight that is generated by the human eye. But then there is sight that is spiritual, that comes through looking through the lens of the soul, through Christ's eyes. What makes us so keen to see that which is evil and so blind to see that which is good and comes from Christ? Man, what veil is there that covers the eyes of people that they will endanger their soul to hell before recognizing Jesus? What lust there must be in the heart of a man to want the treasures of the earth, which leads us away from God, and to an eternal pit of fire. And we would choose that over the loving realms of heaven, streets paved in pure gold, living in the light and presence of a holy God in his Shekinah glory, to feel the utter surrounding of your soul in the presence of Jesus Christ and all that is good and all that is mercy and all that is love and all that is light, where you will see the patriarchs of old and your ancestors that made it to the kingdom, that had gave their life to Christ. They're waiting for you. What a legacy to have, to be able to tell your loved ones, look, this is where I went, and you know how to get there. Believe in Jesus Christ and trust him with all your heart and quit leaning on your own understanding in this pagan, cursed, sin-sick world. Ever learning worldly things and becoming a master of a fallen empire. I've never understood it. Learning how to be successful in what God has cursed. I mean, I want you to wrap your heads around that for a minute. God cursed the earth and everything that's in it. Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. That's what everybody's after, is what all these kingdoms have to offer for people out there in the world. They want the kingdom treasures out there of this world. They want the gold. They want the silver. They want the homes. They want the cars. They want the land. They want all this stuff. They want all the things that Satan has to offer. They're ever learning. They're so smart. But they're shooting for a fallen empire that's not going to make it. Learning how to be successful in what God has cursed. God cursed the earth. The earth and everything in it was cursed by the Almighty God from the genesis of time. Men so loves this cursed world that they get degrees in how to manipulate it for their gain. Oh my gosh, how devilish it is. Paul said, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, Timothy was told this, that Paul said, the Spirit says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits taught by demons. How could people ever turn from the faith of a loving God that we know and have tasted of the good waters of the Word of God, and we have been born again and we've felt the presence of God? How could we turn and follow something demonic? I mean, no wonder people have such a propensity to follow doctrines of demons, because they have lived their whole lives preparing how to be successful in a world that's nothing more than a demonic graveyard. Self-love is kind of the hallmark of the last days, Paul declares, and there'll be plenty of religion in it too. Only the last days religion will be a mere imitation, a form of godliness without the changing power of Jesus Christ attached to it. It will be a doctrine of teaching you how to be good without you actually being good. My goodness, I hope that you understand what I'm saying. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Let's look at that first attribute. The Bible says just exactly opposite of that. The Bible says to prefer ye one another over yourself. Jesus said of his disciples who wondered who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he said, greatest among you will be servant of all. You ain't going to be a lover of your own self and be Christ-like. That is devilish. All these things are devilish. Men will be lovers of their own selves. That is a satanic attribute. Satan is all about himself. He's all about pride. That's what got him kicked out of heaven, folks. Covetous, never satisfied, never content with what you have, but you always want what someone else has. You see someone else's blessing. Listen, Christians should be the kind of people that are blessed when they see other people blessed, not wanting what the others have, but thanking God for the blessing that someone else had and being satisfied with what you have. That is a godly attribute. But covetousness is wanting what you don't have instead of wanting what you do have. Boasters, my gosh, get on Facebook, get on Instagram, look at people boasting. boasting to sell their products, boasting to sell themselves, boasting about how great they are, boasting about this, boasting about that. It's all that. This is satanic. Proud. Pride is the original sin that got Satan kicked out. He was so proud in heart, and he was full of pride. Blasphemers, not afraid, no reverence for God, not afraid to speak things that are evil against heaven, not afraid to take the Lord's name in vain, cursing from their heart, evil within their heart, coming up with evil concoctions that blaspheme the word of God, disobedient to parents. Look at kids these days. How can anyone believe in God who they've not seen as their heavenly father and not obey their father that's on this earth? It's teaching them. When you allow kids to be disobedient, it's teaching them to have no regard for their heavenly father, because how would they ever believe in him who they have not seen? Unthankful. Thankfulness is the hallmark of a Christian soul. We should be thankful always, understanding that we would have nothing, that we would be doomed to a devil's hell, that we would be burning in fire, that God did everything for us, that this world was created for us, and that he's given to us the clothes we have on our back, the roof over our head. You should be thankful always, knowing that if it wasn't for God, you would be doomed. Unthankfulness leaves God out of the equation. Unholy. Man, look at the world today. It has no holiness. Even a lot of the churches have let go of the hand of holiness that seeks to do right in the sight of God, to keep things pristine and clean in the house of the Lord and in your own soul, without natural affection. It is the most unnatural affection for a man to love another man, or a woman to love another woman. It is unnatural affection to be a transgender. It is unnatural. You are departing from biological law that God created. You are a man and you are a woman, and that's all that there is. And I don't care if you want to be one or the other. That is all God created. It is lying and self-deception. It is demonic, trying to take what God created and to blaspheme it. We are created in the image and likeness of God. Why is this so important? Because Satan is teaching people, and people are locking into taking what was holy and built in the image of God and just ruining it, slandering it, making it evil, trying to take the image of God and blaspheme it. Good gracious. Truce breakers. Nobody can keep their word. The word means nothing. Somebody says they're going to do something. Well, you can kind of maybe think they might, but most of the time they won't keep their word. Their word means nothing. False accusers. Listen, folks, this is extremely important. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that God hates and calls an abomination seven things. And one of them is those who are false accusers, people whose feet run swiftly into trouble and cause discord amongst the brethren. God hates that. Incontinent and fierce, people that just go straight to violence. They have no self-control. They don't let God control what's going on in their life. They are strictly controlled by the feelings of their flesh. Despisers of those that are good. They just have a hatred for those of us. It's the cancel culture of the day. My goodness, Paul is describing us to a T. If you get out there and preach Jesus like I'm doing right now, they'll cancel you out. They hate the good. They want the evil. They want it so bad. They want what is not godly. Traitors, heady, high-minded, people who put themselves on a pedestal, people who think they're better than other people, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. How hard is it to get people to come to church? How hard is it in church for preachers to preach the word, but instead want to entertain their crowd? They would love you to be in a pleasurous mindset than to give you the word of God and to do the word of God. Lovers of pleasures, that goes for the church world as well as in the world. people that would love to do anything more than come to church or read their Bible or pray and listen. The world is a lovely place, and it's very seducing to the fleshly side of you. Let's just be honest and call it what it is, man. Having a form of godliness but denying the power of, saying you believe in Jesus but not being born again, saying you believe in Jesus but don't believe in the bodily resurrection, saying you believe in Jesus but don't do anything that he says. And the Bible says, from such of these types of people, turn away. Don't have anything to do with them. Because we have this fallen nature that likes to attach itself to other things that's fallen. It is just the fallen man within you. You have to fight and resist every day. The Bible says we have to pick up our cross and follow him every day. We have to try each and every day to overcome the feelings of the flesh. And when you put yourself around people that are so fleshly and are doing evil things, you're probably going to fall because you're going to give in to it. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We talked about that. And then he says, evil men and seducers in verse 13 shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The time of the end is going to produce people that's not going to preach messages like I'm preaching to you right now about you being saved. You must be saved. Stop playing around. You must follow Jesus. Stop messing around. The rapture is about to happen. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord Jesus, as a man called by God, that you need to stop and you need to get serious with God and you need to stop all this insanity and get back to the basics of just believing. Have purpose in your life. Have godly purpose. Know the doctrine in which you believe, the scriptural doctrine. Your manner of life should manifest Jesus not only to your family, but to everyone in your community. Your purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus put us into motion with the Great Commission. Your faith should be that should be known amongst all people. You should be long-suffering, loving people when you're not being loved back. And you should have love and patience, enduring persecutions and afflictions. And the Lord will deliver you out of them all. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for people that's listening to this podcast, God. Oh Lord, we are in very dark times. And God, we know that the Spirit is calling to us because you don't want to lose, no, not one. But yet there will be some, Lord, left behind. Oh Lord, let it not be because I failed to preach the gospel. I pray that people would listen and respond, that they'd give in to you, God, that ask to be forgiven, be healed and delivered, and start looking with spiritual eyes and not carnal eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.